Welcome back to Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. CERN is a laboratory near Geneva, Switzerland, and it's home to the world's largest particle collider. It's an enormous oval-shaped tube in which scientists can fling invisible particles at each other at ridiculous speeds in hopes of catching glimpses of the universe's tiniest building blocks. In 2012, scientists at the Large Hadron Collider announced that they'd confirmed the existence of the Higgs boson, sometimes called the God particle. It's an essential particle in what's known as the Standard Model of Physics, so important that just a year later, the men who theorized its existence received the Nobel Prize. Now, researchers at the Large Hadron Collider say they may have evidence that breaks the Standard Model of Physics. These are not small discoveries, but some scientists are already looking beyond the Large Hadron Collider to what we could learn with an even larger one. Steve Natas is co-author of From the Great Wall to the Great Collider, a new book that makes the case for a new, bigger collider to be built in China. Steve Natas, welcome to Living Lab.
Thanks for having me.
The Large Hadron Collider really hit the public conscience in 2012 with the discovery, or perhaps it would be more appropriate to say the confirmation of the existence of the Higgs boson. Can you explain that discovery and its significance a little bit?
Well, yes, it was an extremely important discovery. It confirmed a theoretical prediction that had been made 48 years earlier in 1964 about the existence of this particle, which I will explain. But the particle was the last piece of what's called the Standard Model of Particle Physics. Why the Higgs boson is important is that it is our way of seeing something called the Higgs field, which theorists had postulated. And this field, you might think of as an invisible ocean that fills all the universe. And without it, atoms and molecules and people and planets wouldn't be here, because interactions with this Higgs field of particles like electrons make them massive. And if electrons and other elementary particles were not massive, they would fly around the universe at the speed of light, and they would never slow down long enough for atoms or molecules to form.
I mean, the Higgs boson has been called the God particle because, I guess, it is so fundamental to everything else working.
That term was perhaps used to sell books by an author, and a lot of scientists don't really embrace that terminology, but it is a very important particle.
And the Large Hadron Collider, which was used to be able to see this particle, is that like the rock that you drop into the ocean to create that wave? How does the collider help us see things like this particle?
In order to see the Higgs boson, we need to produce extremely high energies. And the Large Hadron Collider is, to the present time, the most powerful particle collider ever, you know, created, ever built by humans. And how it gets these extremely high energies is that it takes beams of protons moving in opposite directions around a 27-kilometer-long ring near Geneva, Switzerland. And it uses electric fields to accelerate these beams to extremely high speeds. And the speed I'm talking about is about 99.999999% the speed of light, and uses magnetic fields to steer and bend the beams and steer the particles so that they will collide against each other. And when they hit each other, it's a tremendous amount of energy. And it's kind of energy that was seen with a tiny fraction of a second after the Big Bang.
It sounds like a really advanced version of those elementary school math problems. You know, if you have a train moving one direction and the other coming the other direction, at what point will they collide? But you're doing this, like you said, at the speed of light with particle beams.
It's a little bit like that. And the Large Hadron Collider has, as I said, a 27-kilometer circumference ring. It's a tunnel deep underground in rock. Producing a Higgs boson is very difficult, and it's the reason it took so long, 48 years after the prediction, because at the Large Hadron Collider, only one out of a trillion proton collisions will produce a Higgs boson that's detectable at that machine.
You said the Higgs boson is kind of the last piece in the Standard Model of physics. What else do we need something like the Large Hadron Collider or an even newer, larger collider, which is what you propose in your newest book? Why do we need that?
The Higgs boson is the last piece of the standard model, but it is not the last piece of fundamental physics. Physicists have been striving for many decades, and it was one of Einstein's dreams to come up with a unified theory that described the behavior of particles accurately as well as gravity. So that's one reason the standard model is not complete. But for another reason is that the particles described by the standard model, the particles we see in our everyday world, physicists and cosmologists believe only comprise 5% of the stuff of the universe.
5%?
5%.
What's the other 95%?
The other 95% is mysterious, and that's why it's labeled dark matter and dark energy.
Are those mysteries that the Large Hadron Collider or a larger collider could help us answer?
With regard to dark energy, there aren't any good experiments that I know of that could provide a definitive answer to that. But with respect to dark matter, the Large Hadron Collider physicists there have hopes of seeing dark matter particles, but they have not so far. And the expectation is that by going to a bigger machine and higher energies, we'll certainly have a better chance. And we don't know exactly what form dark matter will take. There are a lot of ideas, and many particle physicists think that they could be just out of our current reach, but within the reach of a bigger machine.
Why specifically build this proposed larger collider in China?
It comes down to a question of who has the wherewithal and will to build such a machine. In 1993, the United States canceled the superconducting supercollider, which would have been the largest particle collider in the world, and it was 20% built in Texas, and it was canceled by Congress in 1993. Since that time, the U.S. has subsequently opened the Tevatron Collider, which was the world leader before that Large Hadron Collider opened in Switzerland, but the U.S. has no real plans to build a bigger machine right now. The work in particle physics in the U.S. is not going in that direction, much to the dismay of many American physicists. Folks in Europe at CERN, where the Large Hadron Collider, do have some ideas and plans for a larger machine there, but it will be a question of whether they can afford it. The Large Hadron Collider will be operating for about two decades more, and will take a lot of money to keep that running. So these machines take decades to build and plan, and some physicists would like to see the plans and that process start to begin now, so that when the Large Hadron Collider shuts down, particle physics won't shut down. There is some excitement in China, and China does have the financial means, if they choose to do so, to build such a machine, but China would not do something like this on its own. It would be an international project with help from the international physics community and participation by physicists all over the world.
There's a fairly high-powered group that in your book you mention are on board with this proposal. How widespread is the support for a new, larger collider?
Well, right now it's a little difficult to say the status of this machine, which is still in a proposal stage, but the proposals are getting more and more detailed. I can say that folks at the Institute for High Energy Physics in Beijing assembled a group of several hundred physicists from all over the world to work on the preliminary design study for the collider, to help work out the details of what this collider would look like, and perhaps more importantly, to work out what the key scientific questions that would be addressed by this machine. And so there's strong support from physicists all over the world and Nobel laureates, and I'd say particularly strong support from physicists in the United States who don't have a machine of their own. Right now, the main action is in Europe, so the European physicists have their own facility, and the U.S. physicists are a big presence at the Large Hadron Collider, but we're more visitors in a sense. If the The machine is built in China. It's likely that the U.S. physics community will have a very large role to play.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because relationships between the U.S. and China, one point of strain has been intellectual property theft or spying, where Chinese hackers have tried to get access to American intellectual property. Do you really think that China would have the trust of the scientific community?
Well, I can't speak too much to the specific issue you raise, but what I can say is that in the field of physics, collaborations between China and the U.S. and China and the rest of the world have been improving quite dramatically over the last several decades. Right now, there is a small particle collider operating in Beijing, which has 300 physicists from around the world and many from the United States doing important physics on a much smaller scale and at much lower energy levels. I think that the world of physics, international collaborations, is the way things go, and it is a great thing for improving political relations between countries, or at least it has some hope of helping that.
You actually draw a parallel or perhaps an anti-parallel between the Great Wall of China and what you say could be the Great Collider. I mean, what do you see there as the uniting force of this collider?
The Great Wall is a metaphor that perhaps shouldn't be taken too literally, but it was a tremendous feat of engineering, and it remains to this day the largest and longest architectural structure ever created. However, the original purpose of the Great Wall was to keep people out of China, particularly hostile invaders from the north. The Great Collider would also require a tremendous feat of engineering and technology and science, and would be the biggest and most complicated machine ever built, a machine 100 kilometers long and having detectors the size of cathedrals. But its purpose, in some ways, is quite antithetical to what the purpose of the Great Wall is, because this Great Collider, if it were to be built, would be an international project. It would need the help of the international science and physics community, and it would invite that. And the Great Wall would be a way of bringing scientists, maybe 10,000 people from around the world, to participate in this great adventure, really, to try to understand what the structure of matter is and try to understand the forces that govern all the particles in the universe.
As you said, it would take decades to design and build this new collider. I wonder if it's like the space program, in that in trying to build this one thing, the collider, are there a host of new technologies that might have to be created that could then see uses in broader society as well?
One of the great things about these experiments in high-energy physics, it requires technology at the limit, and in fact, always requires technology beyond what we can presently do. And that has always led to spin-offs that aren't necessarily predictable in advance. And I can say that one of the benefits that's come from colliders in high-energy particle physics is detectors that are used in medical diagnostics, like PET machines and the magnets used in MRI machines. When the plans were for the Large Hadron Collider were being formulated, people started thinking about the tremendous quantities of data that would be generated and the large number of collaborators, how this information would be disseminated and shared among the researchers around the world. And that challenge is what gave rise to the World Wide Web, which was invented by Tim Berners-Lee, who was a programmer who worked at CERN at the time. And so that was a huge spin-off that's had just tremendous impact. Another great area is that these colliders have always pushed the development of superconducting magnets, and they require the biggest and most powerful and most advanced magnets and strongest magnets ever built, and that would be the case with this new collider. And these superconducting magnets are used in just a broad range of technology. Perhaps the most visible things are like these maglev trains that are starting to come into use.
Steve Natus is co-author of a new book, From the Great Wall to the Great Collider, China and the Quest to Uncover the Inner Workings of the Universe. Steve Natus, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Heather. It's been a pleasure being here.
I spoke with Steve Natus in a studio at WGBH in Boston. You can find more information about the proposed Great Collider in China, as well as Adam Serafian's research on the origins of Earth's water on our website, capeandislands.org. And of course, you can always find Living Lab Radio on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. That's our show for this week. Tune in next week for a conversation with artist John Goldman about his exhibit, Aphoristic Extinctions, Portraits of Species Who Are at Risk of Disappearing Forever. Until next week, this is Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab is produced by Elsa Partan and Heather Goldstone. Jenny Junker answers the phones. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Major support for Living Lab is provided by the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment and by the Candida Fund, furthering the values that contribute to a healthy planet. Additional support is provided by Lee McGraw and the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation.